Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, hi, everyone. Late Advent blessings and early Christmas wishes. Hi, Dee.
Hi.
This is the Deacon and the Dee, and we're here preparing to do a show which will have a little bit of a Christmas theme and share a little bit of music from a friend of Catholic Vitamins and a friend of KPIH Rim Catholic Radio in Payson, Arizona. His name is
Russ Rentler.
Russ Rentler. He is a very talented string instrument. He plays ukuleles and lots of other stringed instruments.
A retired doctor who is now focusing on his music.
Amen. And traveling around a lot in Pennsylvania where he lives. But he's also traveled around the country driving, and he drives a small camper. He and his wife are in a small camper, and
one
he offers
teardrop type campers.
And he offers free concerts. So we'll play a little bit of his music, part of which is Christmas oriented. And
this is Catholic Vitamin Q.
For
that's a strange vitamin.
Yes, it is.
Query.
So. Are you querying the Lord what he would like to ask of you in the new year or even on Christmas Day? Now, you may be hearing this after Christmas. We know that this show was heard twice on our local radio station, and it's on the World Wide Web for a week or sometimes more. What query would you make of the Lord in terms of his will for you?
So our guest may have been many, many years ago querying, should I become a priest?
Yes. So that is a hint as to our guest. His name is Father he's lovingly known as Father Zach, and he is Father Zachary Romanowski. I don't think that's Irish, D.
No, I don't think so.
Father Zach is with Madonna House, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Madonna House a little bit later in my own comments, and then Father will talk about it during our interview. And it's a wonderful, wonderful apostolate that we have supported for years. And Father Zach is going to tell his journey story from being a handsome young man to becoming a very handsome and loving priest.
And we are up to episode 410 for the World Wide Web.
Wonderful.
Episode 56.
Are you saying?
KPIH.
56. Sorry for cutting you off there.
Yes.
Are you saying that we've done 410 episodes?
We have.
And we've had bishops, priests, deacons, nuns, evangelists, singers.
I find it really hard to believe that we've been at this for 9 years.
I know. If we make it to 10, should we stop at 10?
I think I probably figure we'd make it about 4, 5.
Yeah, right. Well, even though this may be heard after Christmas, we want to say a few words about Christmas. And the first thing I thought as a note for us to sort of share about is memories of Christmas past. Do you have any memories, Dee?
Well, I always have a memory of growing up when I was really young. We grew up in a two-story house. And I remember us, my brothers, and I would we'd go around the railing upstairs, and we'd be like straining to peek down, see if we could see anything downstairs, whether we could see any gifts under the tree yet, or we could hear anything.
That's a very typical thing for children to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Peeking there. I have a memory, a childhood memory. Now, you have to understand that this is sort of before religion, or at least separate from the topic of religion. I have a memory of a toy that I received for Christmas, which was probably my favorite toy for a period of time. And I know I played with it all that day. And it's such, you know, a silly thing to talk about now, but it was a gas station where you could, you know, raise cars up on a rack and you could pretend to fill them up and you could wash windows. And
I think we had something very similar that we bought for our own boys when they were little.
Speaking of church, I have a memory from church. Now, this is terrible, but I went to a midnight mass by myself, so I must have been my early teens, I would guess. And I was sitting behind two women that came in. They kind of crowded in the pew ahead of me, and they settled down, and I heard this one woman say to the other one, "This is a good place to catch a disease, don't you think?" And I thought to myself, "Holy Moses, talk about not preparing your mind and heart for the coming of the Christ child." Even at my young age, when I thought all the time about myself, which is what a lot of teens do, I thought that was a terrible thing to overhear.
Well, just to mention, a church brings up differences between your growing up and my growing up, since I grew up Methodist.
You were a Methodist?
I was a Methodist.
Oh, my.
And if Christmas did not fall on a Sunday, we didn't have any Christmas liturgy.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, very common nowadays that most Christian churches do not honor, you know, the singular important events in the life of Christ are his birth, his death, and his resurrection.
Although I didn't know, I was going by the marquee of one of our churches here in town, non-Catholic church, that they were having I think I've read this in the paper, several of them have Christmas Eve services.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, wonderful. So I shouldn't say too much, but I believe it's pretty common that churches do not have liturgies on Christmas Day, which I've always thought was a little unusual. Speaking of liturgies, even though this may only have a short time frame of viability for listeners in Payson, we're going to share the liturgy times for Masses in our community. We have two Catholic parishes. One is St. Philip the Apostle Parish, and they have a December 24th, what they call a family mass.
At 4 p.m.
4 p.m.
And
Father Ricky is a traditionalist, so he's going to have a traditional midnight mass. And on Christmas Day, there are going to be two masses, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m.
11 o'clock will be bilingual.
So there are four masses going to be held at St. Philip the Apostle Church.
And then we go across town to Holy Nativity, and they have a Christmas Eve mass at 6 o'clock and a Christmas Day mass at 10 a.m.
And I know who the deacon will be at both of those masses.
Really?
Yes, yes, I will be.
Do God I know
willing.
Him?
God, yeah, a bit. You have trouble putting up with him, but yeah, you do. Well, that is Prattle segment number one on Catholic Vitamins. We'll be back. As we said earlier in the show, that is Russ Rentler, a wonderful gifted musician. We love his work. And his, as I alluded to earlier in the show, he has been very friendly to Catholic Vitamins. He was an interview many years ago, and also his wife,
Deborah.
We interviewed her separately because she had her own journey to the Catholic faith, and it was wonderful to have them, but he's been friendly to Catholic Vitamins, and he also has done some promo work for our Catholic radio station, KPIH 98.9.
I have heard him as I'm driving in my car.
Yeah, in Payson. Well, Dee, what were we...
You were going to talk about these bumper stickers you got in front of you.
We have some new gift items from Catholic Vitamins to our listeners, to anyone who hears this, whether local or far-flung. We have some new Eucharist bumper stickers. Dee, first of all, how would you describe, not the words, but how would you describe the bumper sticker?
It kind of looks patriotic, red, white, and blue.
Well, that's what was behind the choice of the colors. I could have done other colors, but to evoke a feeling of deep sentiment, I chose blue and red with white lettering. And the words on the bumper sticker are the Eucharist.
That's in a blue band across the top.
And down below in red, Christ's real presence.
And in the middle, there's a little picture of a priest's hands holding up the Eucharist.
If you would like one of those for your car and you are willing to stand up and show what you believe in the new year, the Eucharist, Christ's real presence, send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com or call our studio at 928-363-4144, 928-363-4144. And just give us some mailing information, and we'll send you one of these bumper stickers.
And because of the colors chosen to do these, they'll be very eye-catching.
Yes, that's exactly right. Thank you for mentioning that. Well, speaking of eye-catching, I'm going to move to a different subject. Our Filipino pastor over at St. Philip the Apostle Parish, who is an eye-catching entertainer, isn't he, Dee?
Yeah, we call him a frustrated lounge singer, maybe.
Yes, exactly. I hate to say that. He would probably be singing in a high-class lounge.
Yeah, but he's got a very good voice.
He does. The reason we're mentioning this is last night was another one of the soirees at the St. Philip the Apostle Parish.
Our Christmas potluck.
And I was not there real long, but I got some food, and I know you worked hard when you came home. You were tired and grumpy. But I hope you had a good time there and that Father sang some songs. And
I heard him sing. I was in the kitchen most of the time, but I did hear him singing a few times.
So if we could have the same number of people show up for church services as come to our parish parties, it would be an awesome thing. But I know that's one of his ways of bringing community together. So that's a good idea.
And everybody, I mean, we really have great turnouts, and everybody seems to really enjoy themselves.
They were doing white elephant gift exchange. Do you want to say any words about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't get mine until like the very end. I almost forgot about even going to get one because, as I said, I was in the kitchen most of the time. But we were all given a number when we came in. If you came in with a gift, you got a number so that you could pick another gift in the end. Yeah, they were, you know what a white elephant means. It's like, that's a gift that you don't want anymore. Wrap it up so somebody else gets it. So I got a bag full of hodgepodge of things that
somebody else
probably donate back to the thrift store.
Well, I don't know what the other gifts were because I wasn't there to see them being opened.
I wasn't out to see many of them either.
Yeah, but it's kind of a fun idea. Father Ricky wanted to do that. Well, last words in this segment of Prattle would be about memorable gifts. I was asking you before we started recording again what memorable gifts you might have had.
And it's terrible. My mind is so, memory is so fuzzy. I can't remember any memorable gifts when I was real little, but one that I remember when I was a teenager, maybe just about the time I was getting out of high school, I got a stereo of my very own.
Oh, wow.
And by today's or later years, stereos, this thing was humongous in size. And it was propped on four legs. And I remember I carried that off to Washington, D.C. with me. You know, that was my piece of furniture I took with me when I went off to
Was it
work.
AM and FM? And,
yeah.
And did
yeah,
it have a
I
record
so.
Player
it
in
had
it?
Had a record player, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Have we just let people know how old we are?
And that became our stereo when we got married.
Dear friends, we will be back.
Daddy, I don't feel good tonight. Something's in the air. The animals are restless and they just won't sleep. The starlight is so clear. The starlight is so clear. The shepherds went off early tonight, they say. Something about a crazy dream. They want to head east to Bethlehem to see a baby boy king. To see a baby boy king. Maybe this is something we've been waiting for our whole lives. Maybe this is something we must see with our own eyes. Someone left a window open in heaven tonight. Someone left a window open in heaven tonight. Wake up, Daddy, I can't sleep at all. Take me down to Bethlehem Way. We'll saddle the horses and we'll ride all night. We'll get there by the break of day.
Well, in just a few moments, we'll have our interview with Father Zach from Madonna House. And during that time, you'll hear a little bit of an explanation about Madonna House and about the apostolate of service that they do. I turned to a book called Grace in Every Season through the year with Catherine Doherty, who's the foundress of Madonna House. And I asked Dee to pick a reflection for me to share from this book. And she immediately went to December 25th, Christmas Day, a feast for little children. Here's Catherine Doherty's writing. Christmas, the familiar story, a stable, a manger, the baby, the Virgin Mother, shepherds, carols, presents, Christmas trees, goodwill to all men and women. But is Jesus' warm and healing infant smile lost, wasted on a cold, indifferent world that would reject its very source, and anew, with every generation, crucify it with cruel mockery and wanton jest? It seems like it, does it not? Behold in our country the cold hearts, the empty souls, the days spent in worship of self, in worrying about the altars of hideous idols we have created. Security, power, wealth, health, beauty of body, these idols, our own distorted images, are what we really worship. Babe of Bethlehem, have mercy on us. Send your angels to call us to your feet. Send us your graces to open our blind eyes, so that prostrating ourselves before your utter destitution, we may find in it its infinite richness, a laver of our sins. Help us to become as little children who alone shall enter heaven. As little children, we shall see easily through the tinsel of wealth, power, security, and we shall reject all of them for your sake, embracing only your love. Sear us with the sparks of your fire. We can then indeed bring the true message of your birth to a world that has forgotten its very meaning, and thus restore it, and all that dwell therein, to your Father in heaven, who so loved us as to send you to redeem us.
I hear they're putting up a cross in Jerusalem. Come on, son, we've gotta go. Come on, son, we've gotta go. Maybe this is something we've been waiting for our whole lives. Maybe this is something we must see with our own eyes. Someone left a window open in heaven tonight. Someone left a window open in heaven tonight. the window open in heaven tonight. Someone left a window open in heaven tonight.
Next up on Catholic Vitamins, the joy of coming to know Madonna House in earlier years has given many benefits and gifts to Deacon Tom and Dee. One of them is to come to know some of the people who have given their lives over to the service of the church and in a community of love. That's what Madonna House is. Our guest today is Father Zachary Romanowski. He's affectionately referred to as Father Zach, and with his permission, we'll call him that during the interview. Father Zach, welcome to our program, Catholic Vitamins.
Well, thank you.
We have, Dee and I have had a quite long relationship with Madonna House, and I could go into that, but this is about sharing with people what Madonna House is and about what it's like to be a priest in Madonna House. We'll get into all of that. But before you were a priest, when you were, if I may, just Zach, where were you born?
Right.
Where did you grow up, etc.?
Sure. Yes, I was born in Nashua, New Hampshire, and just lived there only for about a year. My father was beginning his medical career and started there in Nashua, and then moved up to Nova Scotia, Canada, where my mother's from. They actually met at a college there in a place called Antigonish, Nova Scotia. So I grew up in rural Nova Scotia on the North Shore, nice beautiful spot. Right on the coast there, you can look across to see Prince Edward Island and then the province of Canada.
Mm.
And I spent my majority of my childhood there in the country, but also a few years in the city of Nova Scotia in Halifax as well. So, yeah.
All right. Did you have a large family, or were you a single child?
We were a good-sized Catholic family. I grew up with eight brothers and sisters, so I was middle. I have a twin brother, middle of nine. There's two brothers and six sisters, and I have also another sister who was born later when I was 18. So there's 10 of us all together in my family.
My, my. What was faith like in your family growing up, Father?
Yeah, well, we grew up in the country, so we weren't too integrated in our local parish just because it was about a half-hour drive away, so we would find a lot of things to do among ourselves in our, because there being a good side group of us, and so I have a lot of memories of being playing all kinds of sports and games around the house, and then heading off on hikes and ski trips and in the wintertime and skating, and we always found something to do. Fortunately, we managed to all make it through childhood without any serious mortal injuries. And my parents, my mother looked after us at home. She was full time at home with us, taking care of us. It's, of course, a full time job in itself. My father, he started a medical practice across the street. Actually, used to be an old schoolhouse, and he opened that up and was working there for a while. Sadly, my parents' marriage didn't last, so my parents separated when I was 7 years old, and my father ended up going back to where he's from, which is outside of Boston, and so we were raised, well, when I was from seven onwards, I was raised with my mother at home, which had its effects, but kind of works through everything.
Sure, works sure. Was there a semblance, I hate to use that word, but was there a semblance of recognition of necessity of faith in those years, even when you weren't regularly attending church? I mean, was there anything like rosary in the home or any faith prayers that you were taught?
Yeah, I do. It's interesting. I do recall learning all the prayers, the basic prayers of our Catholic faith. And I remember saying them at times. I'd at nighttime, before going to bed or lying in bed, I remember I kind of have a whole regime of prayers I'd say. I don't quite remember who was the one teaching me, if that was my older siblings or, but we, when my parents were together, we would go regularly. And then when that broke up, it really affected things because my mother wasn't able to drive at that point or wasn't because of her eyesight. And so it was a long distance to the local church. So we weren't able to get regularly to Mass. I don't have a memory of praying the rosary together as a family. I was baptized and made my first Holy Confession and Communion, and was confirmed as well.
What were your teen and young adult years like? Had you left the home by, say, graduation from high school?
We moved into the city in Nova Scotia, the capital city, the biggest city in the province. For a few years, my mother went back to school. She did her law degree. So she took the nine of us, actually it was eight, because my oldest sister left for college. And so in those years, we were going to Mass every Sunday because we were instructed to do, but we could actually walk there. So we had the convenience of being in the city, and I was good. I got happy to be there and to, as I got to know, made friends, and it was closer to things. It was kind of wanting to stay, but we moved back to the country in my final 2 years of high school. Again, back to quite a distance to get to the local high school. And it's a bit difficult years for me. We still made the best of it, and there in the country, and got involved as we could. But we were just back to the reality of being in the country again, and I was, I guess, a little used to being more in the urban area and closer to things, be able to have your own freedoms that way as a child. So, but I did leave home at 18, went to a university in Ontario, in Hamilton, Ontario, called McMaster University, and did a 4-year degree in kinesiology, so like exercise science or physical education was my degree.
What were you setting out to do with that, Father?
Well, when I started, I didn't have a clear sense of what I wanted to do. I knew that I was very an athletic and enjoyed sports and fitness and that type of thing. So I figured that degree would be a direction I could take. But I wasn't sure exactly what career I was looking at that time. But then while I was studying in those years, maybe about halfway through, I was considering the chiropractic profession, as my uncle is a chiropractor and my dad's a medical doctor. So I had an interest in some kind of healing profession. I was looking particularly into that, and that continued on for some years afterward, as I actually worked for a chiropractor for close to 2 years, doing some kind of rehab work with his patients.
Hmm. Okay. So, Father, I have spent some time getting ready for our interview today. I've already said, by way of sharing with our listeners, that I've had a long association with Madonna House. It's a family of Christian laymen, women, and priests who have formed a community, and I don't know yet how we get into your awareness of Madonna House and the priesthood, so I think this would be a good time for you to share with our listeners how your awareness of Madonna House got started and what you did with that awareness.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Well, I remember my older brother, John, his name is, he had known about Madonna House before I did, and he might have talked to me about it, but it didn't really stay with me as I had in those early 20s, when I was in my early 20s, just I was a bit of a wandering sheep, we'll say, away from the church. But I do remember seeing a picture he had of Catherine Doherty, who was the founder of Madonna, on his dresser. The dresser there, and I was thinking, who's that lady that he had? And then never really asked him, but I do have that memory of seeing that, because he had come to know the community, and in fact, he spent time there as a guest, and then decided to become an applicant to look at joining the community. So it was really through him that I first came in contact with Madonna House. I decided I would, when I was living in Toronto, so I had moved. After working for some time in the Boston area, I moved to Toronto, and I decided I would... actually, I should backtrack a little before that, because I did visit on my own with at Madonna House during Holy Week, but my first very visit there was actually to visit my older brother with during Christmas. Actually, it'll be 20 years ago this Christmas, that I first went to... the headquarters that we call the training center in Cumbermere, Ontario, and the purpose was to ultimately to visit my older brother John there. But I first had a first exposure to the community, and that was significant for me personally, because I was just starting to come back to participating in the Sunday Eucharist every Sunday. I made a commitment, and I knew I needed to reconcile with the Lord from just my wanderings of the past during my college years. And I thought, well, if I go to this place, this holy place, I need to be cleaned up a bit, or I need to make things right with the Lord. So that kind of gave me a little prompting to go to confession after many years prior to going to Madonna House in Cumbermere. And so I'm grateful for that little extra nudge, which had me going to an Advent penitential service and making a confession after some time, which I really feel for me is a real kind of moment where I came back into the church and through that healing sacrament and really reconciled to God and be able to go deeper then in my relationship with the Lord and seeking His will in my life as well. So I visited, went with my father and my older sister and a friend of hers. There's a little group of us that went to visit John for the Christmas days, and it's a beautiful time. It was like Wonderland there, I remember, just very pristine with all the newly laid in snow, and the community really celebrates well the beauty of the Incarnation of our Lord. So I had my first days at Madonna then, and then fast forward a little over a year, I decided to spend Holy Week there just on my own, and I decided to also visit my brother, who's still there, and it was very beautiful, significant. I probably would say a Holy Week that I'll never have again, in the sense that I was like a sponge and soaking up the whole week and all the little traditions that come along with the Holy Week that I didn't have a lot of experience of in my upbringing, but Madonna does very well as far as just really celebrating the Triduum, you know, Holy Thursday with the Lamb's Supper and time for adoration extended and the Good Friday service that we do, the Bearer of Christ, the Byzantine Liturgy, God worship, which I had never been exposed to before, and then of course Holy Saturday and then Easter Vigil. So it was really a very grace-filled week for me. And it was then that I heard from a priesthood there about the spiritual formation program for men who are discerning priesthood. And I had by that time I had been meeting with the spiritual director, and he had posed the question if I ever thought of a priesthood, and I had said I never really thought about it, but I had received the grace to be open to whatever the Lord might have in store for me. You know, I was seeking His will, not mine anymore at that point. And so when I heard about this spiritual formation program offered by Monona House in Cumbermere, I decided I would really take that to heart. I brought it back to my spirit director in Toronto, and he was supportive of that. And so I quit my job. I was working in a fitness center in Toronto, a couple different ones actually, and went to Cumbermere to spend about 6 or 7 months there in the program. And that was a very fairly formative time for me. I was about 26 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm. A beautiful. And having been to Cumbermere, to the headquarters, the training center, myself twice, and my wife, Dee, once, it is a beautiful place. Visitors are welcomed all the time. You can go on a retreat there, or you can go and join the people in their daily work. I have smilingly told the story of going expecting to do some computer work when I was going to Cumbermere, and wound up pulling weeds in the garden.
Yeah, it's one always rule to live by. If you go to spend some time as a working guest, which our guests join in our life there of work and prayer and recreation, never to really have your mind set on one particular job, because likely you won't do that job. So,
yeah, and in the evening, I think I remember after supper, helping to prepare vegetables for the next day's meals. So you went through this 6 or 7 month period of discernment, and I would guess that you had the option or the thing to consider: do I want to go out and go into a diocese or return to a diocese and continue looking at the priesthood, discerning the priesthood, or stay with Madonna House? How did you process that decision process?
Yeah, well, I certainly was drawn to the spirituality of Madonna House. It's Nazareth spirituality of living the gospel in the ordinary things of daily life, and that's the incarnation of the gospel and every little thing you do. And I really felt drawn to that spirituality and living it out, and really felt at home there. But at that time in my life, I was there really to discern priesthood, and I had a real sense of a strong call to be a priest and to serve the Lord that way. So after I finished those 7 months, the program finishes up during the first week of Easter. So you started usually in October and go through Advent, Christmas, or part of Christmas, you go back to your homes and then you return back again to the community and go through Lent and the first part of Easter. So when I left, I actually ended up returning to Nova Scotia. At that time, I had been living in Ontario, but I returned to Nova Scotia, and the reason I did, because I had received a letter from the vocations director, who at that time, he knew my older sister, and he had heard that I was at Madonna House discerning priesthood. So perhaps the Holy Spirit or his own quick thinking, but he sent this letter to me, inviting me to come and stay with him and to continue discerning priesthood for my home diocese back in Nova Scotia. And so when I received his letter, it was just after I was really asking the Lord, okay, what next? You know, what do I do now? So it was very timely, and I went back there and spent the summer, really kind of late spring and summer, in his rectory and helping out of the parish, and decided that, well, with his encouragement and another priest friend to enter the seminary for the Archdiocese of Halifax, which was what the vocations director was director of that particular diocese in Nova Scotia. So that's what happened. But I did, it's interesting that I decided I would go to seminary, but I went left a week early and went actually up to Cumbermere and spent a weekend before going to seminary. And then during my first reading week in that fall, I actually went back up to Cumbermere for another week visit, you know, so it was, the community was very much on my heart, but I had this sense of a strong calling to the priesthood in particular, and not necessarily to as a lay consecrated man, which you would do as a man discerning Madonna first to the community, and then if the community discerns with you a call to the priesthood, then you would go that in that way.
All right. Well, where did you take your formation for the priesthood, and how long have you been a priest?
So I went to St. Augustine Seminary in Toronto, Canada. Did 5 years at the seminary with 1 year in the parish. I was ordained priest in May 4th of 2007. So now it's been a little 11.5 years now that I've been ordained priest.
What a blessing. Praise God. Thank you for your yes to the call. Dee and I have enjoyed meeting you at the Fieldhouse location in Winslow, Arizona. And so maybe we could talk a little bit in our closing time together about Madonna House. I've already said that there are lay men and lay women, and there are priests there, and they all work together, or they're in field houses. Can you give a little bit more color to what it's like to be associated with Madonna House?
Sure. Yeah, I probably should say, just without going too long about it, but that I was first as an associate priest, so there is an associate membership, which, as you yourself know, and are associated with us, of clergy, so of priests and deacons, and then there are those who are members who are full time members there, fully incorporated in the community. And there's presently 19 priests and approximately around 180 or so lay consecrated men and women. And we share our life together, so it's very much a community of men and women, both lay and ordained, who, you know, we work side by side, we pray together, we have our, you know, like a family, our downtime recreation time together as well. And that, in fact, actually the priest in the community came a little bit later. At first, to Catherine Doherty, who is our founders, she and her husband, Eddie Doherty, they, when they moved to Cumbermere, as the years went by, people joined them. They were mostly, it was both men and women. And at some point, they decided they needed to make a commitment to living together as a intentional community in the Catholic community. So they made promises of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And it came a little later on, probably, I don't know the exact number of years, but probably at least between 5-10 years of where the priests started to come and actually were able to, or released from their bishop or superior to serve in the community, and became a community of priests along with lay consecrated men and women together. And both in our field houses and our training center, we spent a lot of time with our doing just the daily tasks of ordinary life together, meals and the work that needs to be done in the community, which is fairly ordinary, nothing that's extraordinary, but just it's really living out the ordinary thing to day life, but with great love. That's at the heart of our call, you know, and really seeing that when we give ourselves to our work together, our prayer, our presence to each other, we bring the Lord His light into the world, and not just for our own sort of, you know, our community's good, but really for the salvation, for the healing of the world.
Well, that also speaks to why there are field houses. Can you say a few words I know that there are a number of locations around the world where Madonna House has field houses. What are they there for in the community? Examples of why there are field houses for Madonna House.
Yeah, sure. They really began at the request of bishops. That was our first field house in the Yukon, northern Canada. The White Horse is the name of the town there. And it was the bishop there that really wanted the Madonna House to be there and to open up a shelter for men in the streets. And that's how it started. And he had met Catherine Doherty and really believed that Madonna's presence there would be a great benefit for his diocese. So that's often how the field houses started, where we would be invited by particular bishops to open a house there, and they very much supported our presence there and helped us get started. And each field house has a particular mandate from the bit that's worked out with the leaders in Madonna House and with the local bishop. And so we have our first house is in, as I said, in Whitehorse, the Yukon, in northern Canada. And then we had, and that began as a place of offering shelter for the homeless, and then also actually opened, providing food. It was really the first food bank in that town. Since then, over the years, it's been taken over by the municipality, the city. And then the next one was Edmonton, Alberta, in Western Canada, and that continues to serve as a soup kitchen, providing a lunch for the homeless and also clothing for them as well, and just most of all, really offering them love, offering them someone who's there for them, listening to them, and really caring for them. That's not just about providing food necessarily. That's one thing that's done there at Edmonton, the field house. And the third is the one I've been currently serving at, is down in Winslow, Arizona. And one of the particularly in the mandate there is to offer catechesis for children, which our community has been doing for over 20 years with the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. And also just offering hospitality of the heart and for our visitors, and helping also those who we hear of who are in need, either for food or for clothing, or sometimes for financial help as we're able to help them as we receive donations ourselves. But we also have a house in Russia, in Krasnoyarsk, Russia, which is in Siberia. That's always been our founders and also our elders, just to have a presence in Russia, because that's where our founders grew up or where she's from. So we have a house there. We have a house in Belgium as well as in England. We have several houses, other houses in the United States, in Washington and in Virginia and Michigan, and then several others also in Canada, as well as from Windsor, Toronto, to Ottawa, and Rimouski. So about 17 houses and field houses in total. But each of them have a particular, we'll say, mandate. And some of them are serving meals or like the corporal works of mercy. Like I mentioned, Edmonton, or we have a house in Regina, Saskatchewan, in Canada. It's also offering a meal. But then we have other houses that are, we call listening prayer houses, which are houses just simply to just offer a listening ear, a cup of tea for those who are, who they come to know, who walk through the blue door, which is kind of Our Lady, to let them know that the Lord is with them. And that's our founders, even back when in the 70s, said that the greatest poverty of our country here, at least this part of the world, is the part of loneliness.
Mm.
So it's to have a presence where there's people there available to pray with others, to listen, to help out as they can. Sometimes just a cup of coffee or tea, you know, and can bring so much life into someone's, you know, heart.
Well, dear listeners to Catholic Vitamins, this has been in this gentle season of the Incarnation. This has been a gentle interview with a young priest, relatively young priest, Father Zach, who was with Madonna House, which was founded in 1947 by Catherine Doherty, servant of God Catherine Doherty, and her husband at the time, co-founder Eddie Doherty, became a priest as they took up the vow of celibacy and have built a community, as you heard, of about 200 lay men, women, and priests. And if you are called in any sense to support Madonna House by prayer or financially, you can find out more about them by visiting their website, a wonderful website which shares a lot in image and words about what they do. It's madonnahouse.org, if I remember. I wrote a note, but don't see it right as I'm talking. And you'll be able to go, if you wish, to Madonna House in Canada and join them for a period of time. And as I say, it's a good and holy place to go to. And if you need to do some soul searching, or if you are wondering what the Lord may be calling you to do in the next phase of your life, Madonna House would be a wonderful place to go and to spend time with the Lord and with the people of God. Father Zach, this has been a joy, a quiet, peaceful opportunity to look at a wonderful community. Do you have any closing words?
Well, just thank you for this opportunity, and just to invite all listeners who are looking for an experience of a Christian community, a community seeking to build love amongst themselves and really bring Christ's presence into a world in the ordinary of everyday life, really encourage you to consider looking at the website and perhaps making a trip up to Cumbria one day and seeing for yourself. It's really something to experience. And certainly Our Lady's we say she invites all our guests, and she cares, has special graces through her Son, her divine Son, for all those who visit, and certainly will not be disappointed from the experience of being with the community and praying and working with them.
Father, wonderful. May we ask your blessing before we end our time together.
Dear Our Lady of Cumbria, St. Joseph of all the saints, may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, come down upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Amen. Father Zach Romanowski, thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins. We'll keep you in our prayers.
You're most welcome. God bless you.
Once again, my name is Christine Watkins, the founder of QueenOfPeaceMedia.com. Queen of Peace Media is dedicated to providing quality Catholic books and media that nurture faith, transform hearts, and help people find their way home. My newest book is called Of Men and Mary, How Six Men Won the Greatest Battle of Their Lives. Father Donald Calloway says the book is anointed and a real page-turner. Father Gary Thomas, exorcist and subject of the movie The Rite, calls the book superb. Brother Daniel Klimek says it is one of those unique books that has the power to free people from darkness. It's the perfect gift for the men in your life and brings great encouragement to women. Once again, it's called Of Men and Mary. To order the book, go to www.queenofpeacemedia.com. And I'm so very glad you listen to and support good Catholic web evangelization, such as right here on the Catholic Vitamins podcast.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the beautiful time, the quiet time in this quiet season of the Nativity, listening to the interview, time spent with Father Zach. I enjoyed that. And it was nice of Christine Watkins to do a little promo for Catholic Vitamins. And we'll say a word or two about her book in a minute. Dee has left, and I've got to do a wrap-up on Catholic Vitamins. She asked me to share with any women listeners who might be interested in a great women's conference that the Catholic Women of Phoenix present their annual conference February 9th, 2019. It's going to be held at Xavier College Prep. I've been there. It's a wonderful campus. The theme of the women's conference is Who Does He Say You Are? And guest speakers include Terry Polakovic, co-founder of Endow, Father Daniel Cruz, Vicar of St. Joan of Arc Catholic Church, Father Frankie Cicero, parochial vicar of Queen of Peace Catholic Church, and Claire Dwyer, blogger and editor of www.spiritualdirection.com. So, if you're interested in that, you go to the Catholic Women's website and get all the details. So we were talking about, well, Christine was talking about her book, Of Men and Mary. We have giveaway copies of this wonderful book, How Six Men Won the Greatest Battle of Their Lives. This is all put together by Christine Watkins. And there are just a lot of testimonies about how great, how powerful this book is. And if you've listened to Catholic Vitamins for a while, you know we have a deep, very passionate heart for conversion and reversion stories. And so a gift for a man in your life or a gift to yourself, dear ladies. I guess that is about it for this episode of Catholic Vitamins. We have a guest lined up for starting the new year. We're anxious to share that with you. During the interview with Father Zachary, I heard him say, "What do I do now? What's next?" That's why we picked the vitamin Q for query. Kind of fits with the whole theme of his journey, and hopefully ours. We thank Russ Rentler for his music, and we'll post the Madonna House website on the face page for this show, but it's madonnahouse.org, a great website, and we encourage you to go for a visit. You may stay for life. We thank you for being a friend of Catholic Vitamins. We thank you for being with us for whatever period of time you have been with us. And if you're interested in Christine Watkins' giveaway books through Catholic Vitamins, go to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And if you don't have if you don't have email, call us at 928-363-4144, 363-4144. Blessings and Merry Christmas from Deacon Tom and Dee.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.